Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. Today's special guest is a buddy of mine that I've known for years. We've done a few of these radio shows over the years. His name is Brady Goss. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I notice you got no TV cameras in here.
No TV cameras. We don't want anybody to see what we're doing in here, right?
Now I have to talk.
Now you got to talk. That's right. Yep, this is radio, not television. You got it. How you been?
I've been pretty well, considering, you know, doing a lot of sitting at home since...
Well, you bought a new home, so are you getting the honeydews now while you're sitting at home?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We have not...
You need to go back to work, don't you?
We have not wasted our time at the house. I mean, we built a retaining wall. It turned out pretty good, and that's kind of been the highlight of my year so far. Yeah, I was in Arizona when the virus hit and touring down there. I don't know if we said, but I'm a musician, full-time musician, so I was touring Arizona at the time, and that virus hit, and everything got canceled, and I was on my way home. I thought they were going to lock us out of the state.
Were you driving, or did you fly?
I was driving.
Okay, so you got home right away?
Yeah, I had to cut a couple gigs short and took the 21-hour drive back home.
Wow.
Just hoping they were going to have the border open. Everybody was freaking out.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your career, and we'll get into what you've been doing and stuff. You started playing is it a keyboard or piano? What do you call it? What do you professionals call it?
I started on the piano.
Okay.
But soon after, I had to get a keyboard if I wanted to go play live because you have to, you know, you can't just pack a piano around with you.
Sure you
can.
Why would you want to?
But there's a lot easier ways to go about it. So, yeah I've bought a number of keyboards, and that's what I play live all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, for people that have not seen you, and we've got some of your music we'll be playing a little bit here later on in the show here, but they have not seen you, you're rather fast on those keyboards, aren't you? I mean, your hands are just...
Yeah, well, I went to the school of Jerry Lee Lewis, so he never did anything by the book. You know,
right.
He did it his way, and he played rock and roll piano like the flashy guitar players.
Sure.
He really invented rock and roll, and I kind of reaped the benefits by my dad's huge collection of VHS tapes and CDs. And
VHS tape. Boy, do they even have a machine for that anymore? Wow.
Yeah, they're old relics.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
So when you're playing, and it's amazing to watch you play because you're hitting those keys so fast and so hard. You ever make a mistake?
Well,
I knew you did.
I make plenty of mistakes.
But you just keep going.
You just keep going.
And hopefully they don't notice, right?
It's like radio.
Yeah.
You just keep going.
No, I don't. I fold. I crash and burn. So did you ever take lessons, piano lessons?
Yeah, I have. When did I take lessons? I was probably 12, 13,
okay.
14, somewhere in there.
Were you playing before that?
Oh, yeah. I started playing when I was 4, and... finally, my parents made me do it, and
made you take the lessons?
Do the lessons,
okay.
Yeah. And I thought that I didn't need them, but I
rebelled. One of those cocky punks, huh?
I rebelled against it for a long time, and then when I was able to quit taking them, because my piano teacher said it was a big waste of time,
So my broadcasting teacher told me, too, you know, you're a waste of time. Get out of here.
I just realized that actually I revert back to what I learned from them, and I kind of figured out what I was doing before. So they taught me music. I knew sound, and they taught me music. So now I have...
So you can read music now?
No, I can't anymore. I read just enough to get by.
Yeah?
You kind of, if you don't do it, you forget how, so...
Right.
Yeah, I just play by ear nowadays and kind of know enough music theory to make sense of it all.
How many songs do you know? How many songs can you sit down there and play?
Less and less every year, but...
Well, because you're getting to be so old now? Is that the reason?
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't even hit 30 yet, have you?
I have hit 30.
Barely.
Unbelievably so, but yeah, I'm 30 now. Crazy.
I got dirty socks older than that, you know? Come on.
What was the question?
I don't know. I'm so old, I forgot the question there. How many songs do you know?
I would say 150.
Really?
200 songs, depending on, you know, the day. I can revert back to some old stuff that I once knew and bring them back to life. And you have to keep up on your songs, otherwise you can't play them.
I've seen you a number of times performing all over the place, and I noticed that I don't think I've ever seen any two shows that are the same.
No, you
change up. Every show is different, isn't it?
Yeah, that is definitely true, and that's kind of a blessing and a curse sometimes.
Why is it a curse?
Well, I guess if you're not firing on all cylinders like you want to be, which I'm a kind of a perfectionist, so there's a style. It's kind of like stand-up comedy. There's a style in which you can ad-lib, but if the crowd's not there or they're not into it.
I've had a few of those crowds.
Yeah.
Thursday night. Thursday night crowds. I don't know what it is, but every time I'd go down and open for Louis Anderson in Vegas, on a Thursday night, he'd tell me it's a Thursday night crowd. He goes, "You got to work hard." They're horrible. I don't know what it is. It's a Thursday night. Friday night they're great. Wednesday night they're great. Thursday, forget it.
Really?
What's the worst night for you?
Just
could be any time.
It depends on where I'm playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I don't have too many bad gigs.
But yeah. I was gonna say you play some nice places though, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, when there's sometimes you got to play places where
you need
you're
the gas
not
money.
Known at all, yeah. Or you're playing to people who don't necessarily want to hear old style music like I play, and you can't break through. Usually, it's not a big issue.
I never want to do high school reunions either. I learned way early in my career: don't do a high school reunion because they don't want to hear you.
Really?
No, they're there to show off, not to sit there and listen to somebody perform.
Yeah, it's all about that fancy rental car they brought.
Exactly. Uh-huh. 10-year anniversary or 10-year reunion is the worst because they're really trying to impress. And it's like I had a guy come over the one reunion I did. And he always says, "Could you do me a favor? Could you turn down the music and not talk?" Sure, not a problem, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the checkbook out. I'm out of here.
Yeah, weddings are that for me.
Are they?
Yeah, I try to steer away from weddings. Usually I wind up sitting silverware on the table and moving PAs and being a DJ more than I am a musician.
Yeah. It's not so bad being a DJ. Beats being a crummy musician.
Yeah, you find out how bad a DJ you are when
you have to be
when you have to you and know? All you got is an iPod.
So tell me you've been doing this for let's exclude 2020, okay? Cuz this has been a rotten year. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my buddy Patrick Lamb and a few other performers, and they're basically sitting at home cleaning the silverware drawer out.
Yep.
Because you can't perform. Do you have any idea when you think you'll be able to go back out and perform?
Well, the problem is even if we get a vaccine and the virus goes away, where's the budget for all these businesses that used to hire us?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in the arts? Probably not. So your guess is as good as mine for when we get to go back out on the road and play live again and entertain crowds of people. I have no idea.
So up till 2020 here, how many gigs were you doing a year? What did you do last year?
Let's go back to 2015.
Okay. That was good year?
That was my busiest year I've ever had.
Okay.
And it was nonstop because I let it be. I had my spring booked, and that rolled right into summer. And summertime is booked with things like Oregon State Fair. I think I had Oregon State Fair, that's an 11-day run, Yakima, which is a 10-day run, and then I went down to California and did three fairs when they were all 12-day runs. So there's your summer into fall. So if you want to when you get established, you get those kind of bookings, and you work pretty much, if you're willing to travel all year round with not a lot of breaks. But after that year, man, I got a little tired. So
yeah,
I had to.
So when you're doing the Oregon State Fair, you said it was 11 straight days or something you worked?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you doing? You're not doing the same show 11 days in a row, are you?
No.
You're just up there, and you're. Do you have a set list, or do you just kind of go by what the audience is screaming and yelling at you?
If it's like a morning show or something like that, or I have to do an 11 a.m. set. sometimes I will make a set list because you don't want to be messing around with things people might not want to hear. So,
how do you know what they want to hear and what they don't want to hear?
Time of day, experience of being on stage, the look on people's faces, how many corn dogs you see.
And who do you take care of your own sound system, or when you're doing something like that, or does the fair take care of it for you? Or
the fair usually has sound there, so I can just roll in and bring my keyboard and my guitar and set up, and that's about it.
You have a band that travels with you now, right?
I have a band sometimes. We've done the Oregon State Fair as a band. I do it as a solo, and when I do like the Pendleton Roundup, I'll bring the whole band because that's a rockin' party, and you got to have enough firepower to demand the attention of the Roundup crowd.
You've also performed up here in Kaiser, haven't you? Didn't you perform at the Kaiser Amphitheater?
Yeah, I bring the band there too.
Okay,
that's Clint Holland's gig that we do.
You've done that a few years in a row, haven't you?
Yeah, I think I've done that, I would say, 5 years.
Okay. I from what I understand, they've canceled everything this year, though. They're not going to run it at all?
I have no idea. I haven't heard.
Okay.
Some places are kind of not canceling until the very last minute.
Yeah.
But you can kind of just predict it. You can see it coming. I have one scheduled for July 5th, but I'll believe
this weekend
when I see it. Yeah.
Where's that at?
Baker City.
Well, that's kind of a long drive. When are you going to plan on making that trip over there? You'd get over there on the 4th and say, oh, by the way, we canceled. See ya.
Well, it was supposed to be, you know, I'd do 3 or 4 gigs going out to that gig, but everything in between got canceled too. So I've got one still on the books in Baker City. We'll see.
Wow. Where's the most you perform for? What's the biggest crowd you've had?
Some of these opening acts. I can't say for sure, but I remember the one that stands out, the first big crowd was opening for Jake Owen in 2009.
Okay.
That was at Yamhill County Fair. Walked out there and it just took in the sight. It was a sea of people jam-packed in there, and I got to open the show. I did it one man, and man, that was a lot of fun.
Was it?
Yeah.
I worked that fair when I opened for Kelly Pickler.
Yeah.
And they, I'll never forget that.
I was supposed to be on that gig. So you got the opening act, huh?
Sorry, dude. I wish you would have been there, though, because she decided that she wasn't ready to come out and start the show. And Ed Doherty, who was the promoter there, uh-huh. I finished my set and I started to walk off. He goes, go back on there and fill for another 20 minutes. And I go, with what? I don't have any more material. Just go on. She's not ready yet.
Oof.
And went out there and did another 20 minutes or so. And then finally I looked over on the side and she was standing right there. And I thought, okay, she's ready.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a little bit of a challenge to work with.
Was she?
Oh, big time.
Huh.
Big time. Yeah, she demanded a full security around her bus. And we counted. Patty counted. There was 11 deputies surrounding her bus. And it stayed there the whole time. And when she walked out, she wouldn't look up at anybody. She looked straight down and came out, did the show, and went back down there. And we found out afterwards that was due to some recent threats that they had against her.
Yeah.
So she was, and I don't blame her. She was, you know, real cautious over that.
She was American Idol, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. She won one of the American Idols.
From Oregon?
No. I think she's from Mississippi or somewhere back there.
Okay.
I have no idea. She's cute as a button there, and she's really sweet, but I think she was just real paranoid at that point.
Yeah.
With all that stuff going on.
Totally.
Have you ever gotten nervous before you go on stage?
Because
you're pretty calm up there. I mean, I've
yeah.
I even tried to heckle you a few times, and you're just pretty calm. You know, you don't get rattled too much at all.
Yeah, I got lucky that one time we were doing the talent show, you and I.
Yeah.
I got lucky with a few little verbal jabs. We
yeah,
had
I didn't
some
like
good
you.
Banter.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I told Patty, I says, you know what, this kid's pretty good. He's firing back at me. I like that.
That's funny.
And so it's like, okay. Hey, we need to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up here with today's special guest, Brady Goss. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Back in just a minute. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, One, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Blue Lakers.
I'd like to introduce the band with a little bit of boogie woogie. Come on, fellas.
We are back. Our guest is Brady Goss. Where is this? Is live. Where was this from?
This is Pendleton Roundup.
Yeah, pretty rowdy out there, isn't it?
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah,
it's a sea of people all the way down Main Street.
Yeah,
it's really cool, and we got the kind of the main spot there between Hamley's and the Rainbow, two of the most popular bars. They get so full that they pour out onto the streets. I mean, not with their drinks, of course, but you know, people get tired of being in there, and the first thing they see is our stage. And
nice.
Rock and roll.
Little break now. Well, I ain't bragging, but I think it's understood everything Tommy
does. So, not only you play the piano and keyboard, and you're cooking pretty good here, but you also sing?
Yeah.
When did you realize you could sing?
It's debated whether I was ever able to or not, but I started singing when I was 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad told me, if you're ever going to do anything in this business, you're probably going to have to sing. So.
Yeah. I told Patty, I tell her all the time, I go, you know, I should have been a singer. And she goes, no, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't there. So when did you realize you were good at what you're doing? Because you get on these keyboards here and you cook pretty good. We just heard a little bit of it there. And when did you realize you're good?
You know, it's ridiculous when I think back at what drove whatever success I have. I just believed in myself no matter if I was good or not.
Yeah.
And there was criticism, of course, that, you know, I started when I was 16, 17 professionally. So, I mean, you're a 16, 17-year-old. You think everything you do is awesome. And some of it is, some of it's not. And just through the years, I've cleaned up and I've always been humble, but, you know, was very confident in my abilities.
Right.
But still, I had to clean it up. You know, I'd show up at these jams in Portland and meet the musicians there. And when they were giving you dirty looks for stupid things you're doing, you figure out what to change.
Yeah. When we first met, you were the finalist in a talent show for the state at the fairgrounds there, and you actually won.
Yeah, I did.
And what year was that?
2008, I believe.
I can't be. I'm not that old. so you entered the contest because you put this CD together for a school project. Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What was going on?
They used to have senior projects. I don't know if they still do or not. But you would pick a subject and... My subject was music, performance, recording arts. So I put together a little CD called I'm With the Band and had it locally produced in my hometown of, it was Wallowa County, Oregon. We did it in Enterprise, Oregon. It's all, the county's kind of one town. But we did that little CD and hired some local musicians to play with me on it, and we mixed it, and that was my project. And it started selling that thing, actually.
Yes, you did. And at that point, was that when you first started performing live? Because you thought, well, you know what? People are liking this.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was it.
You tend to do a lot of Jerry Lee Lewis music. Is he your guy?
Yeah. And it's not that I play his songs, but my style definitely is, it emulates Jerry Lee as best I can. Yeah.
I got to dedicate this song to
this tune is me on
all
guitar.
The guitar players out there, all the great ones.
We talked about that, which is all right.
But especially the most influential one of them all. Now, it's not Eric Clapton. You got to go to the 80s for this guy.
It's all part of the show, Terry.
It's not even, it's not Jimmy Page. It's not Jeff Beck. Believe it or not, it's... Mr. Michael J. Fox from Back to the Future, baby.
You're playing the guitar on this.
Yeah. I know three chords pretty well.
Deep down the beats again, I pull from New Orleans. We back up in the woods among the evergreens. Stood a log cabin made of earth and wood. Lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good. Never been to Linda reading right so well. Pick the guitar just like a ring and a bell. Go, go. Go, Johnny, go.
And this
go.
Is from the Pendleton Roundup in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever performed in Tennessee, Nashville, Memphis?
Not too much. I've recorded in Memphis. I've recorded a couple albums. I think you've got one here that I recorded down there. In Nashville, I went down there for one tour, and it was little gigs.
Yeah.
I played Tootsie's, which was really cool. That's kind of one of the big historic bars down there. That was
right.
Really fun. That was a long time ago. That was 2009. So I was willing to go anywhere.
isn't Memphis a blast?
Memphis is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much history in Memphis
Have you gone?
Yeah. I actually did a show down there at Orpheum Theater, I believe, is what it's called in Memphis.
Yeah.
If I remember right, it's a long time, 2010.
That's kind of their big shebang theater, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really nice. It was a lot of fun. I can't remember who I opened for, but it was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get booed off the stage, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yet. Now, your CDs, how many CDs do you have out right now?
Right now, I'm just selling one.
Okay.
I want to compile the two Memphis CDs into one CD.
Okay.
I don't know. CDs are kind of going by the wayside, and I would like to clean up some of the Memphis stuff and just put them all together.
Why do you think they're going by the wayside?
Well, they don't even put CD players in cars anymore.
Really?
So it's, it won't be long before everybody's just doing Spotify and digital. I hate it, but that's...
I'm just getting used to the CDs now. And they're going to change them on us again.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And you have merchandise and stuff at all your shows, Brady Goss T-shirts, Brady Goss hats, Brady Goss whatever.
Yep. And I also have a new website now where that stuff's really easy to pick up. It's just bradygoss.com. You can...
Stayed up all night thinking that one, didn't you?
Had to buy that one early.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest, Brady Goss. Today's show being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Condition, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. More when we come back. Stick around. We're just getting warmed up.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we're talking with my buddy Brady Goss, who is what is your title? Are you a pianist? Performer. Well, you're a performer.
I
a
prefer
singer.
Piano pounder.
Piano pounder. You play the guitar, though.
That's
When did you start doing that?
Probably about the same time I started singing. I've always played piano, but I've always been in love with bending strings on the guitar, Clapton style of playing.
Sure.
Stevie Ray Vaughan and Chuck Berry, all those guys.
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban's a great guitarist.
Isn't he incredible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Brad Paisley, now kind of the new guitar heroes. But I just got into it. I can play blues pretty good.
Did you take lessons?
No. It's just
self-taught?
Another self-taught deal.
Uh-huh. You actually do pretty good at that.
I mean, like I said, you got to keep it real simple, and I can... kind of show off a little bit, but once you start making me think about it, there's...
The music you like, you've mentioned a couple of times, you like the oldie stuff.
I like oldies and classics.
But somebody your age, you wouldn't think that you're into the oldies, but you enjoy the oldies.
I grew up with them. You know, it's the music that you grew up with is what you're going to wind up loving. That was what we listened to. We had one AM radio station and a country station in Wallowa, Oregon, so... You know, I was into the records and in the old stuff that my dad had.
Right. Have you ever performed in front of any of these guys you're talking about?
Well, not the maybe some of the older guys. I can't remember who I've played in front of now, but kind of my favorite moment of playing with one of my heroes is a guy. His name is Martin Sexton. So nobody knows who he is, but he's an underground kind of 90s soul singer, and he's one of my favorites. And I hired his solo one-man banjo. I mean, he's incredible as an acoustic guitar player and singer. So I hired him so I could open for him. And then
that's a dirty trick.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. So I put him in my hometown theater and did the show. I didn't lose any money. And after that, he asked me to open for him. So that was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever met Jerry Lee Lewis?
Never have. I got real close to him one time when we were...
I mean, how close? Like a stalker close or something? I mean, how close?
I was standing in the same hallway when he
came there you go.
Walking down. I said, I don't know, love you, Killer. Killer's his nickname, so yeah. I think I said something like that. And he
hoping
may
he'd
have
stop.
Acknowledged yeah. me. I don't know.
Does he know who you are or anything about you, you think?
I think he might nowadays.
Because somebody's had to get to him and say, Jerry, you got to hear this kid. He's
I don't know.
50 years ago.
I can't say. I can't say whether he has or not.
Would you feel intimidated performing in front of him, doing some of his stuff?
I can tell you that he is the only musical hero of mine that I'd be a little bit intimidated by.
Really?
Yeah. He's just my guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only
mine is Kent McCord. You don't know who that is?
Nope, I don't.
Nope. I've interviewed over in my 45 years in radio, I've interviewed presidents. I've interviewed anybody that was... anybody in Hollywood that I really wanted to get. The only one I didn't get an interview with was Johnny Carson. I always wanted to interview him, but that never happened. But I interviewed Kent McCord, who played Officer Jim Reed in the 70s television show Adam 12. You've never heard of it. I know that. You weren't even born then. When we were sitting down there at CBS Studios in L.A. waiting for him to come in, Patty looked at me. She goes, why are you so nervous? And I go, this is my hero, man. This guy's my hero. And this guy comes walking in, and sat down, introduced himself, and was as nice as could be. Our 20-minute interview, we sat there and talked for 4 hours. The guy was just incredible. And then he ended up giving us a tour, Patty and I, a tour of CBS Studios down there. And since then, I've interviewed him a few more times on the radio here, and we've become friends. But
wow.
He was my idol.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I used to watch that every Thursday night, you know, 8 o'clock. I'd be right there to watch Adam 12.
I love it.
And it was kind of weird. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm not really a stalker. And he goes, well, I kind of wondered if you were because of some of these texts that you were sending to us. No, I'm almost normal. Would you want to perform in front of Jerry Lee Lewis, do you think?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I would do it. I don't know if he'd like me or like it, but I just think the one thing I would love to do is perform for him, you know, just pay homage to him and shake his hand.
Have you ever made any attempt to get in touch with him?
Yeah. I have so many mutual friends. I know his wife pretty well.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah, but there's still, you don't get next to Jerry. He's a hard guy to get to.
Really?
Yeah. And that's okay. I'm tired of bugging him.
I'll bug him for you. Is he still performing?
No, he had some health issues. He had a stroke not too long ago, and he's 84. And he was performing at 83.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Incredible. Who does your bookings? Do you do all your bookings yourself?
I do at this point, but I've been in the talks with some people to take that off my plate because I'm really sick of that part of it. I love playing and I love singing and I love entertaining. But doing the business, trying to tell somebody how much to pay you, that's gotten harder over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest beefs is that I've got this guy that does mine right now. Actually, it's Donny Osmond's son, Don Jr.
Yeah.
And because I don't like saying this is what I want to make because they go, no, I'm not going to give you that. I'll give you, you know, half that. And then you got to slug them and it's a, you know, rotten deal. What direction do you want to see yourself going? Where do you want to go?
Well, I want to go and be more of an original artist before it's too late. I think I'm at my best as far as being a musician, but I need to be writing a whole lot more. And I am recording some of my original stuff. It's almost ready, but still needs a lot of work done to it.
So when you decide that, hey, I want to make a new CD or I want to write a new song, what do? You go into your room, you shut the door, and you just start thinking?
What really helped me, see, I started out writing songs, and it was just like breathing. Oh, what I want to do is this, write songs, and I did it. But now that it's become a full-time job, it's just like any job. You have to motivate yourself to do it. So what motivated me was picking a deadline. This is when we're going to record, so you better have your stuff written by then. So when I did that, then I was able to focus on the music, and then comes the lyrics, or say you have one line of a song that you really like as far as a lyric, then you said, what would sound good musically under that? What do I want this song to sound like? And then you just let it go. If you try to plan it out too much, it kind of bursts your creative bubble. You got to let it go where the song wants to go.
How long will it take you to write a song? You're working on one right now. What's this one that you're working on right now?
Well, this one I can't claim as my own, but this is from the new album that I will release. This was written by a friend of mine.
You're the only girl from
his name is Ken Brewer.
That's a fact.
And this is it right here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if I ever tried to leave you, honey, I'd sure be bad. Yes, you're the only one for me, and love you so. How do I know?
What's the instrument?
You told me so. That's a Nord electric piano.
Then the band comes in, and there's going to be a lot of other things we throw in on top of this.
I always see your face. You got pictures of yourself hung up all over the place. You've got to be about the prettiest little girl I know. How do I know? Well, you told me so. How do I know?
Do you ever get rattled on stage? What gets your goat on stage? When you're up there and you're performing, what ticks you off?
When something rattles me, you mean?
Yeah.
I suppose a non-captive crowd.
Yeah.
Or a non-captive audience participant sitting in the front row.
Don't you feel, though, that you just need to work a little bit harder on something like that to get them?
I used to, but then when you find out what that earns you, it doesn't really work.
I'm not following you. What do you mean, what earns you?
Well, how do you work harder? You're doing the best you can. You can overwork, I think. Or you can, I've gone the route of singling a person out who didn't look like they wanted to be there.
Right.
But, when I went that route, I later found out that they were the most complimentary person, and they come up and buy a CD. So you just never know what's going on in a person's mind. So
you got to be careful, though, when you go after somebody in the audience, because you don't know if they're going to come after you or not.
Right.
And, that's when you're hoping that there's security here,
Yeah.
You shake my nerves, girl, you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a
man insane. You like doing
the song? I've done it a few thousand times, and I still like it.
Good underneath, gracious, just red balls of fire. I like the love, cause the bottom was fine.
Would you do that in front of him? If you had the opportunity to perform in front of Jerry Lee, would you do the song in front of him?
You'd have to. I would do other songs too.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd have
to. You'd sneak this one in there.
You'd have to go there.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Your fingers ever get tired?
No, I get tired, but my hands and fingers can go all night long.
How long of a show do you put on when you're up there performing? How long is it?
Well, that soundbite was from Pendleton Roundup, and at Pendleton Roundup, we do 4 50-minute sets a day. So
really?
It's a lot of work.
What's the longest that you've ever done if you just got hired to come in and do one show? Well, like
3 hours Kaiser. Or so. Oh, Kaiser is more like 2 hours.
Yeah.
You can't. We have kept them longer at Kaiser until we can't even see them anymore because it's gotten dark outside.
Right.
But generally, you can keep a crowd like that for a couple hours.
Well, he kind of cuts the show off after a certain amount because there's a sound ordinance or something in Kaiser, isn't there?
Yeah, I found that out because we played longer.
And they pulled the plug on you.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. Our guest is Brady Goss, and we'll be back in just a moment with our final segment here on Salem's original 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry. 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
I got a woman way over town. She's good to me. Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a woman way over town. She's good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money when I'm in need. She's a kind of a friend. Of a friend in need. I got a woman. She's
a very young Brady. How old are you on this one? This is a young one.
That's a high school project. 17.
Wow.
Crazy. I haven't heard this in a long time.
She saves her loving early in the morning.
This one really gets cooking. Let's play it through.
Oh, yeah. She saves her loving just for me. And she loves me.
Who's the band? Where'd you get the band?
Drummer was like 15 years old. Joey, and his mom played bass on it. And that's it.
Just listening to that.
Mine too, Terry. That's young man's work back then.
Man. So when you go home and you walk in the house there, do you just collapse?
Oh, sometimes. It's
and the
amazing.
Girlfriend says, well, Brady, sing me a song. And you go, no.
It really is amazing. You feel performer's high as you're doing it. And as you're off stage, you're packing up stuff. As soon as you get your hands on that steering wheel, it's like, wow, I can feel that.
You have a website?
Yep, just myname.com, bradygoss.com.
Oh, I was going to say myname.com. Hello.
Sorry, I beat you to it.
I know you did. Take out the punch there. And how about merchandise? You sell merchandise? Isn't that kind of a big thing now? Everybody sells merchandise at their shows? What have you got?
I was saying CDs are they're on their way out. Mark my words. So we've got shirts, tank tops, pint glasses, little shot glasses. There's all sorts of stuff on there. You can find it all as you navigate that new website.
Where do you want to be in 5 years?
I mean, last year I was thinking maybe I'd have a hit record, but as things...
Things change
exponentially. So I don't know. I'm enjoying myself just doing what I'm doing. And hopefully a hit record to me nowadays is maybe a YouTube song that gets a lot of traction. Because the radio's... I have no interest in what they're playing on new radio. Just, it does not suit me at all. So
right.
YouTube is a good way for independent artists to get out there and sell your music online.
Where is the one venue that you would love to perform in? Is there one? I mean, sure, sold out Rose Garden would be nice.
Yeah.
But what is there one particular place that you would love to just walk out and perform?
I did a show with Martin Sexton at the Aladdin. I had always wanted to play the Aladdin, so I finally played the Aladdin, but I was just the opener.
Yeah.
And it went really well. But one of these days, if I ever get my footing and have some songs that people want to celebrate with me live, I would love to to play the Aladdin as the headliner. We'll see.
I played the Greek Theater in L.A. by myself.
Really?
Yeah. We snuck in. Patty and I were down in L.A. That's true. We were down in L.A. and we drove by it, and I said, "That's the Greek Theater, Patty." And she goes, "Yeah." I go, "Come on." And she goes, "Come on, what?" I go, "There's a door open." So we snuck in, got up on the stage, jumped up on the stage there, and I told Patty two jokes. Nobody in the audience at all. Jumped down and says, "I just worked the Greek Theater."
Yeah.
And she says, "You know, you're a strange bird." You know what? I worked it.
I did the same thing at Red Rocks.
I knew it. Red Rocks in Denver.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful place?
You just walk down the steps. Nobody's there. And
yes.
It's just a part of nature. It's an awesome stage.
But the problem is once you walk down the steps, then you turn around and look and you think, how the hell am I going to get way back up there? Because it's a long way. I saw Neil Diamond there, and I saw Bette Midler there.
Yeah.
And the acoustics in that place is just incredible.
Yeah.
See, you would do good at Red Rocks. I think you'd have fun doing Red Rocks.
Well, yeah, me too.
And if I was your opening act, see, now we're thinking this thing out here. So Red Rocks, you think is where you'd like to be? When were you there?
I was there in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we just were visiting Denver, and on our hike was Red Rocks.
Yeah.
So we went.
That's some hike.
Yeah. It was a sight, man. I would love to see a show there. I haven't seen a show.
It sits up at night. It overlooks Denver. The skyline of Denver's in the back there, and it's just spectacular on a clear night. When we were there with seeing the Neil Diamond show there, John Elway was sitting like two rows behind me, and I kept turning around to look at him to see if he was clapping. And Patty goes, "Would you just quit being a stalker and just watch the show?" But hey, it's John Elway, you know? What are you going to do?
You got to look at him.
That's it. You got to look at him. So Red Rocks would be your ultimate, you think?
Well, that would be cool. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, before that, it was the Aladdin. I prefer the little... You know, the smaller theaters myself. So
you did Hard Rock Cafe in Seattle, didn't you?
Yeah, I played there before.
How exciting was that?
It was cool. I've played there a couple times.
Yeah. How about Las Vegas? You want to get to Vegas?
I used to want to go to Vegas. I'm not sure that I do anymore.
Why is that?
It's kind of changed quite a bit. I'm sure there's still places for me to play down there.
Well, there's thousands of places for you to play down there.
Yeah.
Have you been to Vegas recently?
Yeah.
How about down on Fremont? Wouldn't you be good on Fremont Street down there with all those crazy? That'd be like the roundup.
Yeah.
You get down to Fremont Street. I mean, nobody down there is normal.
I don't know how crazy it is anymore. I haven't been to Vegas in 5 years.
Yeah, we were down there not too long ago, and Fremont, before this virus started, Fremont Street is still as wild as can be.
Mm-hmm.
But during the day, there's nobody there. It seems like at 6 o'clock, all of a sudden, okay, all the crazies, come on out.
So it does sleep just during the daytime.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple of minutes left to go here. Can we hear another one of your songs? What do you want to...
Well, we got that old CD in there.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I can punch in. Hang on a second. This is live radio. You know, that's what we do.
What are we punching in there?
I don't know. You did a song. Let me see if you remember the song. Let me get all the way up here to... All right. Wait a minute. This is live radio at its best.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
You're about to surprise me, aren't you?
I'm going
to
surprise you here. This is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, gosh.
Remember this one?
This is the 12-minute version.
I got news for you. We're not playing 12 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah, this is the back in high school. That's Janice Carper on saxophone. She also played bass, and her son plays the drums.
I see trees of green. Red roses too.
One of my favorite songs.
I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, oh, what a wonderful world.
We have just about a minute left to go here. You did a Beatles song that you do.
I did Saw Her Standing There.
That's it. Yeah.
That's the one that's on YouTube that got quite a bit of traction. That was kind of fun.
You did a great job on that one.
Yeah, that was recorded with the Jerry Lee Lewis backing band in Memphis when I did those studio sessions down there.
Yeah.
We did that live and did a whole video to it.
You're not doing any shows right now because of this virus that's out there. You'll be getting back in as soon as things get the green light. If people want to follow you, the best place to do it is to go to bradygoss.com, and all your merchandise is up there. So if they wanted to pick up a hat or a shirt or something, whatever they want.
That's about the only income I have. So if they even want to do it out of pity, I'd be fine with that.
That was my next question, is how are you doing financially? If you don't mind me asking, I mean, Are you hanging in there?
I'm a saver, so I'm okay.
Okay.
But not comfortable. We just bought a house. So, yeah, we're just waiting for the gigs to come back.
Yeah, and your wife, does she accompany you on all the gigs?
No. She's too busy working, paying those bills.
She's got the real job.
She does.
All right. Hey, Brady, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We've done this show a few times over the years. Would you come back and do it again?
Yeah, anytime you ask, Derek.
All right, Brady Goss is our guest, and you can follow him on his website, bradygoss.com.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.